Open our Bibles again to John chapter 4 this evening. John chapter 4. And we're thinking about meeting people at the well, just meeting people in our everyday going about, at home, at school, in the neighborhood, on our walks. You know, we've got folks coming now that Brother Allen met on his walk up and down the highway here, invited them. Just meeting people on the road, at the gas station, and reviewing our responsibilities. And I want us to consider renewing, as we have to do from time to time, our commitment to evangelism, to the gospel. And then after this, we'll emphasize foreign missions for a time and have a mission Sunday, as we do from time to time. But just thinking about this term, frangelism, about our friends and our relatives and our associates and our neighbors, the people that we're interacting with every day. And maybe we've witnessed to them before. Maybe we've given them a tract before. But we're to keep at it. In fact, we'll turn to a verse after this. I want to read this passage again of the Lord meeting this woman at the well. And I want to encourage you to read at least through verse 45 this week. A couple of times maybe. Or once a day maybe. And we'll come back to it next Sunday and get more into the Lord's encounter with her. Because as we see in these eight verses that we read, it's just a common meeting in his everyday dealings as he was walking from one place to another. But he actually does some very remarkable things in this everyday encounter. And we're going to look into this in more detail. But let's just read it again, verses 1 through 8 in John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And going from Judea into Galilee, it says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Just a casual meeting of someone, like we might do it, you know, waiting in line at the bank or something, you know, or waiting in line at the restaurant, or any number of ways we could imagine. Just a casual meeting of someone and starting a conversation. In this case, Jesus started a conversation asking for a drink. He's at the well. The well's deep. He has no way to draw. She comes to draw, and he asks her for a drink. Just a simple conversation starter. And I'm sure, as it said, he was thirsty. He needed a drink. And from there, an amazing encounter. And as I said, Jesus did some extraordinary things. A man speaking to a woman. There were different male and female roles in that culture in that day. And a Samaritan, no less. A Samaritan woman. But we'll get into all that. I wanted to mention that statistic again. And I've heard it before of the number of churches that close every year. And the number of new churches starting is not equal to the number of churches closing. So maybe that projection that Christianity would be the minority by 2070 is the statistic. I don't think I gave you the year this morning. But they project And I don't remember which of the, you know, there's Pew and Barna and Lifeway and others that research these things. And they project that Christians will be in the minority in this Christian nation by 2070. And it has to do with this thing we're considering here. Our responsibility to the gospel and our commitment to the gospel, being His witnesses, our seriousness about the Great Commission, and our commitment to brighten the corner where we are. I can't help but think that contributed to those, or rather this statistic contributed to those churches closing. 3 in 10 unchurched Americans say that a Christian shared the gospel with them. Only 3 out of 10. Now you'd think, I wonder if they did that sectionally. You know, I'm sure there's a difference in that statistic in the Northwest or the Central, you know, the Central Plains and the Northwest and the West Coast and the Southeast and the Northeast. But it's just nationwide, only 3 out of 10 unchurched Americans has had a Christian try to tell them how to be saved. We've got to be about that task of telling others how to be saved, inviting others to be saved, praying for others to be saved. And we looked at Romans 10 this morning. Let's turn back there for just a moment before we go on. I wanted to read this passage in Romans 10 again. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Those other 7 out of 10 Americans who haven't heard, how are they supposed to believe? You'd think as many, with Christians still being the majority in this country, you'd think that more than 3 out of 10 would have been approached by a Christian and been invited to be saved and had the gospel explained. How shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And a little more detail into that definition of the preacher. A preacher. And I mentioned that this is the only place that it's translated preacher. That same word is translated preach in 51 other verses, publish in 5 verses, proclaim twice, preached with 2 times, preacher this 1 time. Of the 4 times the word preacher, the word preacher appears many more times in the Old Testament than it does the New Testament, which was a bit amazing to me. But this 4 times, this 1 time. And it means a public proclamation of the gospel and matters pertaining to the gospel. And it was used by John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, and other Christian teachers. So it's not necessarily someone who stands at the pulpit and declares a message, preaches a sermon. You don't have to have a sermon to preach, to publish, to promote, to give out the good news. You just have to have a concern and a willingness and a commitment to do it. Now let's move on to some other words of Paul on this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin in verse 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And he's referring here to his desire to influence more people for the gospel, to influence more people for Christ, to draw more people to Christ. I made myself servant of all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. His desire was to see as many as he could saved, that I might by all means save some. And this I do, don't miss verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. As he writes to the Corinthians, we know that in other chapters of this epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, he's dealing with errors in the church. He's dealing with confusion in the church. He's setting some things straight in this church. But here he's reminding them of his commitment to the gospel and what he's doing for the sake of the gospel, and so that he can be a partaker with them in the work of the gospel. He's still, even though he's having to correct some things that are wrong in them, he's reminding them of their duty to the gospel. This I do for the gospel's sake. And I have to ask myself, what am I doing for the gospel's sake? What am I doing for the gospel's sake? It's got to be more. I use this phrase from time to time. We as a church have to do more than just be open for business and put our hours out here and have the doors unlocked at those times and wait for people to come. I have to do more than that as a Christian and as a pastor. And we all have to do more than that. What are we doing for the gospel's sake? To be a partaker in the gospel. Laborers together with God. Paul said in another place, we are laborers together with God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I quote fairly often verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a wonderful verse with that wonderful truth of the transaction of Christ taking my sin so that God could give me his righteousness. But let's begin reading and put this in context. Begin reading with verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I don't believe that Paul was just talking about him and his workers, his helpers in the ministry at that time. This letter was written and it's been preserved as part of God's eternal word. And it's for the church today. He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This word of reconciliation, this good news of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, that ministry and that word has been given to us. And he says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are Christ's representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, that is the message, that is the word of reconciliation that has been given to us as ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. And we must be ready to give that message when God gives us opportunity. And the Lord's giving us more opportunities than we realize if we just stop and think about it. If we're listening to the Lord and we're looking for those opportunities, we have opportunity at least to give someone a track, at least invite someone to hear this brief gospel message. Or maybe go further with them and explain the gospel to them. Give them this word of reconciliation. pray someone in Christ's stead. Let me tell you how to be reconciled to God through Christ. 4, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are His ambassadors. We're laborers together with Him. We're His representatives. You know, when an ambassador from another country comes to Washington, that's an important event. And that ambassador is treated with great respect, and there's often, depending on the circumstance and the message, great pomp and circumstance around the delivering of this message from one government head to another. We have a wonderful message as ambassadors for Christ to give, not to a high official someplace, but to anyone and everyone who will hear it. We're His ambassadors, and we have that great message. And let's turn to another admonition from Paul that's not as much about our responsibility there, but just an encouragement to keep at it. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In chapter 6, verse 9 of Galatians, Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." You might think, you know, I tried that passing out tracts one time, and I've tried inviting people. I've talked to this one, I've talked to that one more than once, and just gave up. Just let them go. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, we know that everyone's not going to be saved, but they're certainly not. If no one ever invites them to be saved, if no one ever presents them with the gospel, if no one ever confronts them with the claims of Christ, if no one ever offers them that good news, they certainly won't be saved. And not everyone that hears the good news will be saved. We understand that. But let us not be weary in that well-doing, in that good task of giving out the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 28. Whom we preach. Whom we preach. Speaking of Christ, if you look up at verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Whereunto, what? In that teaching, in that warning. In that preaching, he says, I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. We're to be about that business of preaching, declaring, warning, admonishing, pleading, offering, inviting. And let us not be weary in that well-doing. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. In the same letter, Paul says something important here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now we read from 1 Peter this morning about being ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in you. And Paul, I think Paul's words here in Colossians 4, 6 can be applied to this. Having our speech always with grace. There may be people that we've spoken to and it wasn't with grace. That would be a little embarrassing or a little uncomfortable because our speech hasn't been right with them on some other matter. And so how can we approach them with the gospel if we've cursed them or said something out of the way in front of them? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now let's turn to Paul's letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And just looking at verses here about our responsibility and commitment and witnessing and just our everyday dealings, having our speech always under the Lord's control, yielded to the Spirit with grace, being committed to the task, taking on that responsibility of the ministry and the word of reconciliation. For He hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, and that everyone who hears that good news might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But how can they hear without a preacher? And the challenge is for us to be that preacher. For us to be those preachers. Now you're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, I said some things this morning about being ashamed of the gospel. It's in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So he said, I'm not ashamed of it. And here he writes to Timothy, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Be not thou therefore, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. His purpose and grace. Be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Do we mean it when we sing, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian? Be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. He's given us power. He's given us love and a sound mind about that. To the point of what he says in verse 8 to Timothy, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Paul knew something about the afflictions of the gospel. We're not in any serious danger of any affliction of the gospel yet, I don't think, here in the Bible Belt. But he has saved us and called us with an holy calling according to his own purpose and grace. And part of his purpose and grace is for those of us who have received that message of the gospel to give it to others, to carry it to others. And let's turn again to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this morning we looked at verse 15. About being ready. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Being ready. Being ready. Thinking about it as we leave out in the morning. Being ready with our tracts on hand. Being ready with the New Testament or having the verses in your heart that you can share the gospel with someone. Being ready to give an answer to the hope that lieth in you. Be ready. And then turn the page, or look across the page to chapter 4, verse 10. And I want to close with this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have received of the grace of God, and now we're given a stewardship of God's grace. God's gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is given to His people and to His church to preach the gospel, to go into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature, knowing that He's with us, knowing that we have that heavenly mandate that we find in the Great Commission, knowing that we're to continue that until He comes. Good stewards of the grace of God. Let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord to help us be good stewards of the grace of God, to be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be ready to give an answer, to be ready to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank You for the gospel. And I thank You for those in my life that influenced me, those bus workers and those early Sunday school teachers, and then Ray Garrett and those first pastors at Hillcrest, and then Brother Lamar and Brother D.A. and others who have influenced me as I grew as a Christian. I thank You for every one of them. And Lord, help us all to give thanks for those people in our lives and to pray to and to try and be one who would influence another for Christ. Trying to gain the more. Trying to save some. God help us. It is for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ that we pray it in His name. Amen.